Blog Talk Radio.
Live Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight, we're going to be discussing knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, God. I thank you for all of those that you would have join us in feasting on your word this evening, God. Father, I thank you for those who will be listening to this message in the future on replays, God. Father, I thank you for you touching each and every one with your word. Father, I thank you for those in the United States of America, God, who are listening. Father, I thank you for you blessing them and touching them and strengthening them, God. Father, I thank you for you empowering them with the ability to focus on you and your word and mastering how to love you better and love themselves better and love others better. Father, I thank you for those in Canada who are listening, God. I thank you for you just ministering to them and blessing them and strengthening them and allowing them to see your concern for them this evening, God. Father, I thank you for all of those in Mexico who are listening, God. Father, I thank you for you touching that country, God. I thank you for you blessing them. I thank you for you prospering them, God. Father, I thank you for those people in Mexico who are seeking you and are ministering to the brethren in Mexico. I thank you for them all being blessed. I thank you for your hedge of protection around them and for you blessing them daily as you continue to remind them of how important they are to you, God. Father, I thank you for those in Brazil who are listening to your word being preached, God. Father, I thank you for those faithful men and women of God taking that word and sharing it with others so that they too can be blessed by what they hear this evening and what they share with others in Brazil, God. Father, I thank you for those in South Africa who will be listening. Father, I thank you for your hedge of protection around them. I thank you for you blessing them and touching them and strengthening them, God. Father, I thank you for your presence in their life, allowing them to share the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of your son, Jesus Christ, with others, God. Father, I thank you for those in Zambia, God. Father, I thank you for you just blessing them and strengthening them, God. Father, I thank you for you touching them in a special way and allowing those in Zambia who are in relationship with you, who are in seeking to be in relationship with you, to be blessed, God. Father, I thank you for your hedge of protection around all of those in Kenya, God. I thank you for you touching them and blessing them and strengthening them, God. Father, I thank you for all of those in that country just being blessed and encouraged, God. Father, I thank you for the word that they share with one another and the word that they receive going forth mightily and making a difference in their life. I thank you for you allowing Kenya to continue to be the great place that it has been for so long. I thank you for those in Nigeria that are listening to your word. Father, I thank you for you blessing them and strengthening them, God. Father, I thank you for your hedge of protection around all that they do, God. Father, I thank you for you causing their fields to prosper, God. I thank you for you causing their businesses to thrive, God. Father, I thank you for you causing their families to be blessed. Father, I thank you for you allowing your word to go forth and have its intended effect in Nigeria, God. Father, I thank you for those in Ghana this evening, God. Father, I thank you for your hedge of protection around each one of them, God. Father, I thank you for you blessing them and strengthening them, God, and empowering them, God, and drawing them closer and closer to you, God. Father, I thank you for all that you're doing in Ghana, continuing to prosper and bring forth fruit for the kingdom, God. Father, I thank you for all of those in the United Arab Emirates, God. I thank you for you blessing them, strengthening them, God. Father, I thank you for you encouraging them and allowing them to come to continue to draw near and near and near to you, God, in all that they do, God. Father, I thank you for your hedge of protection around them and you allowing them to be a shining beacon as they take your word that they hear and share it with others who are looking to be blessed and looking to draw near and near in relationship to you, God. Father, I thank you for you blessing all of those in Australia who are listening to your word, God. I thank you for your hedge of protection around them, God. I thank you for you blessing them. I thank you for you strengthening them, God. Father, I thank you for you just allowing those in Australia to hear your word and to share it with others and to allow others to see how they can be free just as your people are hearing your word, are being free and mastering how to walk in the liberty that they have in Jesus Christ, God. Father, I thank you for all of those in Vietnam who are listening to this message, God. I thank you for you blessing them. I thank you for you strengthening them, God. Father, I thank you for your hedge of protection around each one of them, God. And Father, I thank you for you allowing their families to be blessed. Allow them to be strengthened, God. Allow their Christian communities to be empowered to draw more and more souls into the kingdom of God so that your heavenly kingdom of many nations can be realized, Father. I thank you for each and every one of them knowing how important they are to you, God. Father, I thank you for your hedge of protection around all of those in India right now, God. I thank you for you blessing them and strengthening them and drawing them near to you, God. Father, I thank you for you allowing them to be in your presence in such a way that they are excited, they are enthusiastic, God. Father, allow them to be fully empowered with the word that they receive so that they can minister to all of those who are around about them, God. Father, I thank you for their families being blessed. I thank you for you prospering them, God. Father, I thank you for you keeping them in good health, God. Father, I thank you for all of those in South Korea, God, who are listening to this message, God. Father, I thank you for you blessing them, strengthening them, God, encouraging them, God. Father, I thank you for you taking your word and having all of the intended effect and benefit of prospering your people in South Korea take place, God. Father, I thank you for those who are listening in Japan, God. Father, I thank you for your hedge of protection around them. I thank you for you strengthening them, God. Father, I thank you for you encouraging your people in Japan, God. I thank you for your heavenly kingdom of many nations coming to fruition, God, as we speak, God. Father, I thank you for blessing those in Japan who are seeking you and pleasing you and serving you and trusting you as your people all over the world are doing each and every day, God. Father, I thank you for those in Russia right now, God, who are listening, God. Father, I thank you for your hedge of protection around them, God. I thank you for you blessing them. I thank you for you mightily protecting them. And I thank you for those who are called by you to do mighty works, to win souls for the kingdom, that are in need, that are seeking relationship with you, God. Father, I thank you for you giving these people in Russia the power and the tools to move past any obstacle that would get in their way and hinder their access to your word. Father, I thank you for your word being available to all, and I thank you for those that you have drawn to you and given the desire to seek you, to actually come to you and be blessed mentally and physically and spiritually and emotionally and financially, God. Father, I thank you for all of those in Finland who are listening, God. I thank you for you blessing them and touching them and strengthening them right now, God. Father, I thank you for all of those in Sweden right now, God. Allow them to know that you are present with them. Father, allow them to continue to trust you, continue to worship you, continue to praise you, God. Allow them to continue to thank you for all of the good things that you bless them with, God. Father, I thank you for you blessing those in Norway right now, God. Touch them, strengthen them. Allow them to see how your heavenly kingdom of many nations is coming to fruition right now. And I thank you for how you use this network in order to make that come to pass, God. Father, I thank you for all of those in Spain who are listening right now, God. I thank you for you touching them and strengthening them, God. Father, I thank you for your hedge of protection around them and for you allowing their families to be blessed, God. And Father, allow them to know that you have your hedge of protection around them and you are looking down upon them right now with great expectation, God. Father, I thank you for those in France right now who are listening. Father, I thank you for your hedge of protection around them and you blessing those people that you've called to be yours before the foundations of the world as a part of your heavenly kingdom of many nations, God. Father, I thank you for those in Hungary right now who are listening, God. Father, touch them, strengthen them, encourage them, empower them, allow them to see more dimensions of you, God, as they continue to move forward closer and closer and closer to you in your word, God. Father, I thank you for all of those in Austria who are listening to you, God. Father, I thank you for your word having its intended effect in Austria right now, God. Father, I thank you for those in Poland, God. Bless them, strengthen them, encourage them, allow them to see your presence and your hand in their life right now, God, in a way that just glorifies you and realizes your heavenly kingdom of many nations, God, in Poland, God. Father, I thank you for those in Germany right now, God. I thank you for you strengthening them, God, encouraging them, God, Father, empowering them, God. Father, I thank you for blessing their families, for blessing all of those who are listening to your word and giving them a desire to share your word with others so that they too can be as blessed as they are, God. Father, I thank you for those in the Netherlands who are listening, God. I thank you for you touching them, strengthening them, empowering them, blessing them, and allowing them to know how important they are to you, God. Father, I thank you for those in the United Kingdom who are listening, God. Father, I thank you for your hedge of protection around them, God. Father, I thank you for their role in the heavenly kingdom of many nations, God, being realized, God, in addition to all of the other nations, God, that are listening right now, God, Father, and for those in Ireland, God, just continuing to bless you and please you and serve you and trust you, God, bless their families, God, touch their families, God, allow them to receive all of your goodness, God, and allow your hedge of protection to be about them and allow your word to go forth in a mighty way so that you can continue to be glorified, God. Father, I thank you for you allowing us, God, to be in your presence, God, and allow your word to be realized in such a way in our life that we have the desire to share it with others, knowing that your intended effect is going to come to pass, God. Father, we know that your word never returns void, God. Father, we know that you are always in the process of fulfilling your desire of dwelling with mankind and having mankind dwell with you. And Father, I thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit that you place within us, God, so that we can please you, we can serve you, we can trust you, we can obey you, God. Father, allow us to learn to operate the fullness of that power of the Holy Spirit within us so that we can produce signs, miracles, and wonders in our life and in the life of others, God, so that they can be delivered, so that they can be made whole, so that they can be set free, so that they can really experience the full power of your hand in their life and know that you are really doing a complete and finished work in their life, God. Father, allow them to know that none that you've called will be put away, God, Father, but you are the one who have called them before the foundations of the world, before the world even was, to be your children. Father, I thank you for you giving us that confidence that we can have in you and your word that allows us to stand on the promises in your word. I thank you for this right now. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. We're going to listen to this word of praise by, this song of praise by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
Your worship has power. Whenever things don't feel like you think they should, don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody out. Don't hang up the phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here. You'll be shifting the atmosphere. Cried myself to sleep. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police, yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hands. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. They tell me just take this medication and that gives me another problem. And they say, take this, that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. For breakthrough and healing. Our worship is shifting.
Welcome back to Spirit Live Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight, we're going to be discussing knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. And the reason we're going to be discussing knowing who you are in Christ Jesus is because this is what allows you to truly devote yourself to God and your family. And when you know who you are in Christ, it affects the way that you maneuver in the world. And this is important because God has placed his power of the Holy Spirit within you so that you can be effective in all that you do in drawing others to him and knowing that you are the hand of God in the earth. You are the one that administers healing and deliverance and restoration and encouragement and peace to others. And when you are in the process of playing that role of allowing yourself to be the hand of God in the earth, then God is getting much glory. And God needs people to see you as the living embodiment of the Word of God in the earth, because what that is showing them is that it's possible for them to become the living embodiment of God in the earth and God's hand in the earth, because the power of the Holy Spirit is unlimited power. It literally is God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit within you, fulfilling the will of God. Now, the question that many people would ask is, what is the will of God? It's not so simple. It's very complicated. And I would tell you that it is not so complicated if we focus for a minute on what God has said in his word. What God has made very clear in his word is that his agenda, his mission, his purpose has always been very specific. He determined that he will dwell with mankind and mankind will dwell with him. And so our job is to help that come to pass. So God has determined that he is creating a heavenly kingdom of many nations. And now either we are a part of making that happen for God or we are not. And so if we know that every born-again believer is a minister of reconciliation. And what that means is that big word, reconciliation, it means that we are ministers who restore the people that God called before the foundations of the earth who do not know his son Jesus Christ yet, who are now enemies of God. We are to restore them to the place that God has always intended them to be with him. And that is a tremendous privilege that we have. That is an awesome opportunity that we have to see God's hand work in our life, to see God's power operate in our life, to actually experience God's presence in the earth firsthand, because we are administering healing and deliverance and freedom and restoration and encouragement to others. And then to see them become a child of God after being an enemy of God, just like we became a child of God after being an enemy of God. And if you understand what God has done for you, then it's not so difficult to see how sharing your testimony and your story with someone else can help win them for the kingdom and show them that they are as important to God as you are important to God. And many times people are talked out of really seeing their true potential by what they've experienced in the past, by what they have endured in life. And many times they have no hope. Many times they have given up. Many times they have been discarded by society, by family, by friends, by teachers, by coworkers, by others. And when you show them that God loved them so much that he sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die for them, and then after 3 days and three nights being dead in a stone tomb, God raised his son, Jesus Christ, from the dead and seated him at his right hand and gave him all power in heaven and earth and under the earth, and then sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within you and I. See, that's how we get to the point where now we have the ability to minister to others healing and deliverance and freedom and restoration, and allow them to become a child of God by sharing the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of God's son, Jesus Christ, with them. And see, it was 4,000 years after Adam's sin that mankind was in a state of death, literally. Mankind did not have the Holy Spirit within him, and only a select few over 4,000 years before Jesus Christ died for us experienced God's power through them. We read about them in the Old Testament. We read about people like David and like Enoch and like Noah and like Job and like Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego and others who firsthand operated in the power of God because the Holy Spirit was upon them. But see, after Jesus Christ died on Calvary, what was available to us was something else. What was available to us after Calvary was we were able to have the Holy Spirit within us as a seed and a seal. Just like Adam had the Holy Spirit within him before he sinned. But what God promises us is that the work that he started within us, he's going to finish. And that's why we don't have to be afraid of thinking that God has left this all up to us and that we can mess it up. Because God says, that the work that he started within you, he is faithful to perform. See, it's his work. So it has to get done. God is not going to leave things half done. We see what he's done with the creation of the world from the beginning of time, and no detail has been overlooked. And so it is with our life and our salvation. And if God, and the desire to come to God comes from God. So when you understand that, you seeking God is a desire that came from God. It's because God called you before the foundations of the world to be his child. And now you're hearing it at the appointed time. And so knowing who you are in Christ is going to not only allow you to truly devote yourself to God and your family, it's going to motivate you to truly love yourself and to truly love God and your family. And so God tells us, love him first with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and then love ourselves. And then love others. That is the whole of the commandment of God. And when we love God and we love ourselves and we love others, then our mission of helping God to create a heavenly kingdom of many nations is something that we are serious about. It's something that we are excited about. It's something that transcends anything that we are typically talking about, because normally we're talking about symptoms of problems, but we're not focusing on the main agenda. The main agenda is that God is creating a heavenly kingdom of many nations, and his desire is to dwell with his children and have his children dwell with him in perfect peace. Now, we know that the appointed time for that is sometime down the road. But right now, how we participate in helping to make that happen is knowing who we are, knowing our identity in Christ. The Bible tells us to know no person according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And so when we identify those who are diligently seeking God, it doesn't mean that we approve of the way they are diligently seeking God at the moment. You can be diligently seeking God, serving a number of false gods. And yet, when you are really seeking to please God, serve God, trust God, obey God, and you're just looking in the wrong place, you haven't found Jesus Christ yet. You haven't found the Son of God yet. That word yet is important because God promises that those who seek him will find him. And what that means is no matter what you're studying right now, God has to put a child of God, a minister of reconciliation in your path to share with you the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ, so that you can submit to God's Son, Jesus Christ, and make him your master, make him your Lord, the Lord of your life. And when you do that, you become a child of God. God tells us that when we repent, when we turn away from serving sin, that when we are water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that when we confess with our mouth Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is our Lord and Master, when we believe in our heart that God raised his Son Jesus Christ from the dead, when we call on the name of his Son Jesus Christ, and when we believe to speak in tongues and we believe to prophesy, that we are children of God, and we know it. There is no question about that calling on our life. And that's why God tells us to do these things in Acts 2:38 and 39, in Acts 19:1-7, in Romans 10:8-13, And when we do the things that God says to do, we become children of the Most High. And there is no question about that. And that cannot be undone. You are now a child of God. And we are to regard one another according to the Spirit. So at that point, clothes do not matter. What you're wearing does not matter. Degrees do not matter. Your education is not going to affect the ability of the Holy Spirit to teach you more or less anything else than anybody that the Holy Spirit can't teach anybody else. See, God knows everything. And so the Holy Spirit within you has access to everything and can share with you anything that you need to know when you need to know it. So at that point, whatever your actual education is, it doesn't matter, because the Holy Spirit is going to teach you and instruct you in all things and that you need to know. Houses do not matter. Your status socially doesn't matter. Your status economically does not matter. What matters is you being a child of God. So I want to start tonight's teaching in the book of Matthew chapter 12. And in Matthew chapter 12, verse 15, it says, "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." This is Jesus Christ speaking. And Jesus Christ is saying, "Whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." And we know that the will of God in heaven is that we would win souls for the kingdom, so that we can help God create this heavenly kingdom of many nations. And when we do that intentionally, Jesus Christ says, "You're my brother, you're my sister, you're my mother, you're my family," right? And so when we know who we are in Christ, then our devotion to God is real, because we know what God wants. God wants us to win souls for the kingdom to help him fulfill his mission of creating a heavenly kingdom of many nations. And then we don't get distracted by the economy. We don't get distracted by politics. We don't get distracted by wars and rumors of wars and all these things. We don't get distracted by famine. See, we know from reading in the Old Testament that in times of famine, God made a way for his people. We know that in the wilderness, in the desert, God made provision for his people. God led his people by a cloud by the day to keep them cool and to show them where to go by day. And he provided a pillar of fire by night to give them light and to allow them to move. And when the pillar of fire stopped, that's when they camped. When the pillar of fire started to move, that's when they started to move, and they followed the pillar of fire wherever it went. So as a nation, God was creating a nation in the wilderness at that time, because the children of Israel at that point in time when they were in the wilderness on their way to the promised land, they were really just ex-slaves from Egypt. And God was showing them his laws and his ways, and he was teaching them to follow him. He was showing them his provision. He gave them manna. It was bread from heaven to eat. He gave them quail to eat. He provided water in the desert for them. And God was showing his people that he was always present, that he was the one who was to lead them, to guide them. He was the one that they were to put their confidence in. And when they got hungry, or when they got thirsty, or when they got tired or frustrated, you know what the ex-slaves always want to do? They want to go back to Egypt. They want to go back to bondage. And God shows us this in the Old Testament so that we can not make that same mistake. See, when we know who we are in Christ, we're always going to have those people who remind us of who we used to be. And I'll tell you personally, I wasn't a person who would half-step in the world. When I was in the world, I was in the world, and I didn't apologize for that. And now that I'm in the kingdom, I am in the kingdom, and I don't apologize for that either. And we have to see that when we know who we are in Christ, then our devotion to God is real. It's absolute. When we see what Jesus Christ is saying here in Matthew chapter 12, verse 50, he says, "Whoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same as my brother and sister and mother." So you are no longer who you used to be in the world. And those people who knew me back then, who would say, "Oh, goodness, Carver used to do this, and Carver used to do that, and Carver used to do this." And every time that comes up, I just remember that that was 25 years ago. And the last time I heard him say that, it was 24 years ago. And the last time I heard him say that, it was 23 years ago. And every time that people remind you of who you used to be, you just have to remember how long ago that was, because every day that you get up and you remember who you are in Christ, you're one more day away from who you used to be and one more day closer to who God is making you to become. Look at what it says here in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. It says, "For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." So, see, it's Jesus Christ that sanctifies us. He sets us apart. And those of us who are sanctified, we're all one, because Jesus Christ is the head of the body of Christ, and we are the body of Christ. And it says, "He that sanctified Jesus Christ and they who are sanctified, we're all one." We're one body, and Jesus Christ is our head, our leader, the source of all that we do. And it says, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." So Jesus Christ calls us brethren. That's powerful. That is powerful. And important for you to remember as you know who you are in Christ Jesus, as you identify yourself as a brother or sister of Jesus Christ, as a part of the body, with Jesus Christ as the head. Jesus Christ is not ashamed to call you brethren, because he's the one that sanctified us in the first place, right? Look at what it says in Romans 8:29. It says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." So look at what this is saying. This is speaking about God here in Romans 8:29. It says, "For whom God did foreknow," because only God has foreknowledge. Only God knows the future. It says, "For whom God did foreknow," speaking of you and I, "he also did predestinate." He predestined us in his foreknowledge to be conformed to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ, so that his Son, Jesus Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. See, Jesus Christ was the first to be raised from the dead. Jesus Christ was the first to inhabit heaven and stand at the side of the throne of God. That's important. And when we understand that God foreknew us, it says that he called us before the foundations of the world, but this says that he foreknew us. He knew us in his foreknowledge and predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son. So we can't be conformed to our worldly image and who we are in this five senses vessel of body and flesh and blood and bones. But we have to be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ, in the spirit, who he is now, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. See, Jesus Christ is the firstborn from the dead. He's the only one to die, get up, and stay alive, right? Because we know Lazarus was raised from the dead, but he died again. We know that others were raised from the dead, but they died again. But only Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and now is still alive at the right hand of the throne of God. Look at what it says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. It says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." So those of us who have faith in Christ Jesus are the children of God. And we have to understand that. We have to stand in that identity. We have to stand in that place of privilege, of power, of praise, of purpose. And that purpose, once again, is by connecting to our ministry of reconciliation and deciding that we are going to help God create his heavenly kingdom of many nations. See, that's God's desire. That's God's passion. And God is serious about that. And it's going to happen. And those who love God with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength are serious about helping God make that happen. And we have different ways of doing that. But as long as that intent and that purpose is embodied within what we do, then we know that we are pleasing God, we're serving God, we're trusting God, and we're obeying God. And that's all we need to know to be at peace, to have power, to have purpose. Look at what it says in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12. It says, "But as many as receive him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." So those who receive Jesus Christ as their master, as their Lord, as their Savior, to those he gave power to become the sons of God. See, the power of the Holy Spirit within us empowers us to become the sons of God. And how we become the sons of God is by engaging with God's word first. Studying God's word so you can know what God is doing, what he's done, what he wants, what he desires. Praying to God is another way that you are in that place where you are looking at what it is that God wants, right? Another way that you become the son of God, praying in your spirit according to your heavenly prayer language as you speak in tongues, right? And praying with your understanding so that you hear God's desires being verbalized as your desires, and you let God hear you articulating your heart to agree and come into agreement with his will, that he will dwell with his people and his people will dwell with him. And so now when we receive the Holy Spirit within us and we allow that power to operate within us, we become the sons of God, and signs, miracles, and wonders follow us because we believe. Our expectation is for God to create opportunities for us to minister to others so that they can be set free, so that they can be healed, so that they can be delivered, so that they can go and deliver somebody else. And so for so long, we've been accustomed to seeing what people call Christianity, but seeing very little power and becoming accustomed to that is the norm. And that is going away. That is being done away with. That is something of the past. What's going on right now is those who believe are bringing forth signs, miracles, and wonders in the earth and helping God create his heavenly kingdom of many nations. And so we are operating the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, and that is allowing us to become the sons of God, and we are known by our love, by our joy, by our peace, by our gentleness, by our meekness, by our kindness, by our patience, by our faithfulness, and by our self-control. That is what identifies us in the world as his children, because people see how exceptional the quality of the Holy Spirit is within us. And when we believe on the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ, signs, miracles, and wonders follow us as we operate the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit within us, which allows us to become the sons of God. So when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord of our life, that starts happening then. And then it keeps happening greater and greater and greater, and we grow from grace to grace and faith to faith. That's how it happens. So look at what it says here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. It says, "Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God," meaning that there was a time that we were strangers and foreigners. See, when we were enemies of God, when we were doing our own thing, our own way, doing what we wanted to do, or when we were just seeking God, but we were seeking him in all the wrong places. When we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, as our Master, we became fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So that's who you are in Christ Jesus. You are a fellow citizen with the saints, and you are of the household of God. So now let's put this in perspective. Think about if you are in any one of the nations that we prayed with earlier tonight. Wherever we are a citizen of some nation. But now that we are a part of the household of God, it says that we are fellow citizens with the saints. We are part of the kingdom of God. We are part of God's big project. God's big project is creating his heavenly kingdom of many nations. We are no longer strangers and foreigners in God's heavenly kingdom of many nations, but we are fellow citizens with the saints in God's heavenly kingdom of many nations. And we are of the household of God, which is eternal, which is powerful, which is the most powerful, which is exactly what God is about the business of doing. Now, the question is, are we helping God do this? Because when we are, Jesus Christ said in Matthew 12:50 that whoever does the will of his Father in heaven is his brother and sister and mother, right? Jesus Christ says, if you do the will of my Father in heaven, you're my family, right? And see, when we understand who our family are those who do the will of our Father in heaven. And it's interesting because those that God has assigned us to, right, are usually right there in our house. They get to see our spiritual growth and development firsthand. They get to see us go from and transform from being an enemy of God to being a friend of God, from being an enemy of God to being a child of God. And they get to see us put away our old man and walk into who we are in Christ, which is a new man, a new person, a new creation. The Bible says a new creature. I didn't want to use that word creature, but yeah, we're new. We're something other than what we were before we made Jesus Christ our master, right? And we, our citizenship is no longer here on earth, wherever you happen to be born or wherever you happen to be from. You're a citizen of the kingdom of, you're a fellow citizen with the saints of the household of God. And God's heavenly kingdom of many nations, you're a part of that. That's what God's special project is, God's special mission, making that happen through you. So you're important to God. You're essential to God's plan. It said that God foreknew you before the foundations of the world, and he predestined you to be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ, so that his son, Jesus Christ, could be the firstborn among many brethren, right? So what God is doing through the power of the Holy Spirit within you is he is transforming you into who his son, Jesus Christ, is now. And you have to understand that God's son, Jesus Christ, was given all power in heaven and earth and under the earth when God raised him from the dead. After Jesus Christ fulfilled his assignment and was beat for our physical wholeness and was nailed to a cross, stabbed in the side with a spear, killed, placed in a tomb, stone tomb. They rolled the stone in front of the tomb. He was in there dead for 3 days and three nights. And then God raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand, gave him all power in heaven and earth and under the earth, and then sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within you and I, right? That is essential to understand and remember and know that after Jesus Christ fulfilled his assignment and God raised him from the dead, that he sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within you and I. And that is what allows us to be conformed to the image of God's son, Jesus Christ. The power of the Holy Spirit within us, having God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit within us, allows us to be transformed into the image of God's son, Jesus Christ, right now here on earth as we walk this thing out, as we pray, as we fast, as we fellowship with like-minded believers, as we study God's word, as we pray in our understanding, as we sing with our understanding, as we pray in the spirit, as we speak in tongues, as we sing in the spirit, as we speak, sing in tongues. See, these things develop us into who God needs us to be so that we can go forth into the earth and win souls for the kingdom so that God's heavenly kingdom of many nations can come to fruition. It can become a reality. And what God says is going to be is what's going to be. The question is, are we going to help him do that, or are we just going to sit around and watch other people do that? Because, see, those who help God fulfill his plan have a reward coming to them. And those who don't help God fulfill his plan have no reward coming to them, even if they're going to heaven. And so the thing is, it would be better to serve God, trust God, please God, obey God, and help God create his heavenly kingdom of many nations now, right? And receive the reward that comes with that. Jesus Christ said he's coming quickly and he's bringing his reward with him. See, it's important to God that we participate in realizing his plan, because he wants to reward us. He wants to bless us, right? But we have to intentionally do what he's asking us to do. But we're not going to be able to truly devote ourselves to God if we don't know who we are in Christ. Look at what it says here in 1 John 3, verse 1. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." See, we have to understand that God called us the sons of God. And the world doesn't really know us, but it didn't know him either until after Jesus Christ was crucified. Then everybody started saying, "Oh, this was something else." And mostly what made them say that was there was an earthquake and a whole bunch of darkness and things happen, right? And we have to understand that just as they had Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in their midst and didn't know who was with them, they don't see you for who you are in Christ. They see you based on what country you live in, where you were born, where you went to school, where you work, who your parents are, and all of those markers that we call our identity are foreign to who God says you are. Who God says you are is God says you are his child that was called before the foundations of the world to be his child, and that he intends for you to be conformed to the image of his son, and he predestined you to be conformed to the image of his son, who is spirit. And his son was given all power in heaven and earth and under the earth. Jesus Christ was given all power in heaven and earth and under the earth. And as an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you have received all power in heaven and earth and under the earth. So when you are in relationship with God and you've made Jesus Christ, the Son of God, your master, then you have God in you, the creator of the heavens and the earth. You have the Son of God in you, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You have the Holy Spirit within you that is the guide, the teacher, the comforter, the one who is helping to perfect you. And now you are in the world as a fully empowered minister of reconciliation to help God fulfill his purpose of creating a heavenly kingdom of many nations. So now we're not distracted by politics. We're not local or global. We're not distracted by business. We're not distracted by the economy. We're not distracted by education or social circles or family genealogies or anything like that. You have to know who you are in Christ. And we are in a kingdom, a heavenly kingdom of many nations. And our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ, is who we serve. And when you are in the presence of the King, when you are in the court of the King, you receive the favor of the King. You eat what the King is eating. And you are available to be called upon to serve the King in whatever capacity the King would have you to serve him in. So if Jesus Christ calls you and sends you out, you're going out on behalf of the King. If Jesus Christ has you right there with him, just hanging out, just eating, just dwelling with him, just being entertained, you're in his presence. That's what it means to be in the court of the King, to have that level of privilege, that level of access, right? And so we have to understand that God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son to die for each and every one of us so that we could be called the sons of God. And because of that, the world doesn't know who we are. They have no idea who they're dealing with when they step to us. But I can tell you that me and my God is greater than you and your squad if you stand against the purposes of God in my life. And that's how you have to be in your life, is those who stand against the purposes of God in your life are subject to the authority and the power that you walk in, because no matter how well organized they are, no matter how well financed they are, no matter how well coordinated they are, God is greater. You and God are greater than any who would come against the purpose of life. And you know the purpose of God in your life is to draw many souls into the kingdom so that God's goal of creating a heavenly kingdom of many nations can be realized. Look at what it says in Galatians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. It says, "And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth his spirit." God sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, "Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." See, you're no longer a servant. You're a son of God. And son of God, it says, you're also an heir of God through Christ. And it says, because we're sons, God sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts. And that spirit within our hearts cries out, "Abba, Father." So we have to regard ourselves, not according to the flesh, not according to where we were born or what family we were a part of or what race we happen to be or what country we happen to be born in, but we regard ourselves according to who we are in God's Son, Jesus Christ, because that is where our identity becomes relevant. It's where it becomes meaningful. Are you a part of God's heavenly kingdom of many nations, or are you not? And I know that God wouldn't have you listening to this particular teaching if God was not drawing you near to him. So if you're listening and if you are not yet in relationship with God, I want to encourage you to go to your phone, go get a Bible, look at the book of Acts, verses chapter 2, verses 38 and 39. Look at Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7. And look at Romans chapter 10, verses 8 to 13. And do what it says. Believe to walk into that new level of who you are in Christ, and you will have no doubt about what God's plan is for you, because he will make it known to you. Look what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." See, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And being led by the Spirit of God is preparing you to walk in your authority in the kingdom. See, because in the heavenly kingdom of many nations that God is setting up, it says that we will be ruling with Christ. And that's important to understand. So what you're doing as you're being led by the Spirit now as a son of God is you are preparing to rule, to reign, to operate in the same authority you're walking in now in the heavenly kingdom of many nations as a part of the government that Jesus Christ will be leading. Look at what it says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. It says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." That's a powerful thing. We will see Jesus Christ as he is now. And it says that when he appears, when Jesus Christ appears, when Jesus Christ returns and the dead in Christ rise first and those who are alive, like you and I, if Jesus Christ came back right now, we would be changed and we would meet Jesus Christ together in the air. It says, when he appears, we will be like him and we will see him as he is and we will be as he is. And see, that's God's whole point, is he's saying, I want to conform you to the image of my son. See, you are going to be the spirit being that God has always created you to be. Remember, the Bible says that flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. So whatever it is this vessel is doing, it is meant to do it here. But this isn't going into heaven. So be careful that you develop your soul, that you engage your spirit and the things of the spirit. And when you see yourself as that child of God, as that spirit being that God has created you to be, being conformed to the image of God's son, Jesus Christ, then it affects where you make your investment of time, of energy, of resources, so that you can be in that place of favor that God has called you to be. And you're not wavering in knowing who you are and knowing whose you are. You understand exactly who God has called you to be and exactly what God is calling you to do. Look at what it says here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." See, God is preparing to reveal who you really are in the last time. You are being kept by the power of God. You are being called to an inheritance that is incorruptible. That means an inheritance that will not fade away, an inheritance that is undefiled, an inheritance that is reserved for you in heaven. And you need to be excited about that, because, see, that's what eternity is. You know what I liken it unto? Eternity is like, think about how you spent 9 months within your mother's womb preparing to be born the first time, and you were born into the world, and that birth resulting from the 9 months that you were being nurtured in your mother's womb was preparing you to live 70 to 120 years here on earth physically. Now this vessel of our body, our flesh and bones body, is carrying our soul the same way that our mother carried us as a fetus within her womb for 9 months. Our body is carrying our soul through the 70 to 120 years here on earth. And that soul is to be developed and nurtured for the purpose of going into eternity in order to reap this inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, that is reserved in heaven for us. And we have to understand that what we do in caring for ourselves spiritually here now matters. It's important that we fellowship with like-minded believers. It's important that we study God's word. It's important that we fast. It's important that we pray with our understanding. It's important that we pray with the spirit. It's important that we sing with our understanding. It's important that we sing with our spirit. It's important that we do our good deeds secretly so God can reward us openly. It's important that we fast secretly so that God can reward us openly. It's important that we pray secretly so that God can reward us openly. It's important for us to forgive others openly so that God can forgive us. And when we do the things of God in a way that God asks us to do them, then we receive our rewards. And when we're equipped by the word of God to share the good news of Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection with others, we are helping God create his heavenly kingdom of many nations and bring his grand project to fruition, to make it happen. And to understand that we are all that God has called us to be. Look at what it says here in Philippians 1:6. It says, being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So, see, the work that God started within you, we're to be confident in that work. That the work that he started in us, the good work that he begun in us, he is faithful until the day of Jesus Christ to perform it. So God is going to finish what he started. You don't ever have to worry because he says, look at what it says here in John chapter 6, verse 37. It says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. You need to know that. Jesus Christ said, all that the Father gave to him, all the souls God gave to him, all that come to him, he will in no wise cast out. That's important to know. It affects the way we know this truth. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3, it says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. See, it's God who establishes you. It's God who keeps you from evil. And when you understand that God is doing this work in you, he's perfecting you through the power of this Holy Spirit, you understand he hasn't left this all up to you. And the devil's always trying to make you feel like you can undo God's work. You're not more powerful than God. So it's even more important that you learn how to submit so you don't end up in a place where God finishes his work, but you don't have any reward because you didn't share with him in the work. You didn't agree with him. You didn't submit to him. You didn't humble yourself to him. You didn't recognize that God is going to get done what he's going to get done and fall in line. And when you do fall in line and submit and humble yourself, you're going to be blessed now and you're going to be blessed in eternity. But if you don't, God's still going to finish his work. You'll just end up with no reward in eternity looking at what you could have had that everybody else has for eternity. Now, you know how bad it is if you live on earth now and you're in a place where there's poverty and you see people who are without certain physical things, and that is an interesting way to dwell, right? Now, just imagine, you know, life here on earth is only 70 to 120 years, but now you're in eternity, and because you did not submit to God's will, but God finished his work anyway, and you end up with no rewards, but you're still in heaven. Heaven's a great place. God says it's greater than anything you could possibly imagine. But no rewards, right? See, there are three types of people in heaven: people with no rewards, people with a partial reward, and people with a full reward. And when you understand that you are preparing your soul to enter into eternity, then it affects what you do. So when we are, and think about it like this, when your mother was pregnant with you, if she was not eating right, if she was drinking, if she was smoking, if she was not getting rest, if she was not drinking water, if she was eating candy and cookies and cakes and pies and all kinds of things that were bad for her, it would hinder your development within her, right? Well, if you are not engaging your spirit and feeding your soul with the word of God, with prayer, with fellowship with like-minded believers, with fasting, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, then you are suffering in your spiritual growth and development of your soul. And your soul is being hindered instead of being empowered. So I just want to encourage you to focus on who you are in Christ. Know who you are. And devote yourself to loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, loving yourself, loving others, so that you can love your family and you can know who you are in Christ and regard not even yourself according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, according to the great work that God is doing within you, and then come into agreement that you will help God create his heavenly kingdom of many nations. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this teaching that's gone forth tonight. God, Father, I thank you for you having blessed someone somewhere in the world tonight. God, Father, I thank you for your heavenly kingdom of many nations coming to pass. God, I thank you for all that you've accomplished through your son, Jesus Christ, obedience to you, God. And Father, I thank you for you giving us a heart to obey you and serve you the same way that your son, Jesus Christ, obeyed and served you. Allow us to submit to the authority and leading of your son, Jesus Christ, so that he can complete the work that you started within us. I thank you for this right now. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network, Tuesday night teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Be ye transformed.
Oh, the mercy from you.
Keep my heart.
Hey, that's what I want you to do.
Keep my heart.
Speak to my heart, Lord. Give me your holy word. If I can hear from you, then I'll know what to do. I won't go on. Never go on my own. Just let your spirit guide and let your word abide there.
Speak to my heart, Lord.
From my heart.
Give me your holy
word.
If I can hear from you,
if I can hear,
then I know what
to do.